And it always starts with the Palm Sundays, the entry of our Lord into the Jerusalem. You know, and but I don't know, I doubt how many people do really know what that means. You know, why we Christians celebrate Easter after all? Look, you know, as a little kids, you ask them, what's your impression of Easter? They say, egg hunting, right? Do we do that here? Do we do egg hunting? Too dangerous to harmful eggs in this neighborhood. You know, I love doing that. And, you know, but talking about the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus and also our believer is a very, very difficult part to explain to an unbeliever. And then sometimes we don't even quite fully understand the meaning of Easter, the meaning of our Lord's death and suffering, death and resurrection. And we want to use some of the passage in these couple of weeks to guide us a little bit, step by step, to really prepare our hearts for the Easter celebration coming 2 weeks later. Well, triumphant Lord entry into the Jerusalem. I thank Matt to read that for us. I'm going to read again in different. I have NIV here. I don't know what version that he used. He talked about in the beginning of the verse 12, the great crowd come to see Jesus. If you pay attention to the text, this text needs some special handling in the process. But here, I want to draw your attention to crowd. Actually, there are two group of crowd here. Can you identify that? Okay, first one is verse 12. He say, there's a great crowd come for the feast. Heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Okay? And look at verse 17. Verse 17. Now the crowd was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb. See, the event happened before Jesus entered in Jerusalem is Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Wow, people was amazed. Do you get to see dead people become alive every day? No. If something happened that in Seattle, I want to see it, right? So everybody just come. So we are talking about a great crowd. And in verse 9, look at verse 9. Verse 9. A large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there. And they came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus. To see that person supposed to be dead, but now is alive. Okay, so people, we are talking about a crowd. I want you to think in your mind, are these two the same crowd? See, there's a right before Jesus went into the Jerusalem, he raised Lazarus from the dead. A lot of people gathering want to see what's happening. They heard the news. They all came. And now Jesus immediately, he do another thing. He want to go into the city of Jerusalem. Is this the same group of people that went to see Lazarus now are following Jesus into the city? Are these two the same group? If you look at the original text, it says a larger crowd. So, I mean, there's a one crowd of people following Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, but there is a larger crowd, which is stated in verse 9, 12, and 18, that in opposites. There is a one crowd in verse 17. They went to see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But there is a bigger crowd, a larger crowd, on verse 12, 9, and 18. They came to welcome Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. What's going on here? You know, let me tell you what's going on here. Now, those Jews, they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And they are looking for a national hero to set this country free. Okay? And now they see someone like Jesus can perform miracle, and he is a Jew. And he become a nationalist hero to them, you know. And so they're looking up to Jesus for their own reason. Say, this is the hope of our people. Jesus is the hope of our nation. So they heard the news that Jesus did a lot of miracles. And the most important, he can even raise a person from death. Wow, that's a big event. It's kind of like a climax of all the Jesus, the miracle. And so they all come, not just to witness. Some people say, we can use this opportunity. We can encourage Jesus to be our leader. We don't want him just a miracle performer. We want him to be our leader, to save our people from the Romans. That's their intention. You know, so gospel specified the different degree of that word about the crowd. It's different. You know, more and more people come, but with more different intention in their minds. Okay, now what did they say when the crowd see Jesus coming into the city? What did they say? In verse 13, they took palm branches. And they shouted out to him, say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save. However, I don't think it means save. I don't think the people there, the Jews, they when they say Hosanna, they are looking to Jesus, looking for a salvation. I don't think so. It was used as a word of expression of praises. You know, Hosanna become a praises. Oh, praises to this king. Something like that. And then say, praise is he who come in the name of the Lord. This is from the Old Testament. Okay, let's look at, I want to point it to you, there are three different words they use. Hosanna is the first one, I mean praises. And second is he who comes, then in the name of the Lord. And let's look at Psalm, okay? Can you turn to Psalm 118? With me? Now, let's read Psalm 118:26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, pay attention to these two different verses. Is there a difference between this one and the one in John? Yes, there's some tiny difference, right? Here in Psalm it says, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. And you turn back to John, they say, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus, as a sin, as a Messiah, sent from God. Jesus is from God. He changed the meaning of Psalm 18 a little bit. He changed the meaning of the Psalm 18. Even though the Jewish people, they came and welcomed Jesus, somehow they recite David's song, Psalm 118, and they shout it out, try to like whatever they learn in their synagogue, so they are very used to that. And when they see Jesus coming into the city, they shout it out, Psalm 118, but somehow become a different meaning. He put into a Messiah title into that they are shouting. Jesus is seen as a Messiah sent from God. He's not just praised in the name of the Lord. He is from the Lord. So what does that mean? I think the gospel, author of gospel, John, intentionally want to let us know that he not just come and welcome as a king. He is what kind of king? He is a king He's a ruler that can rule over sin and rule over death. It's about salvation. It's not about saving people from the Roman Empire. It's about saving people from sin into the light. That's kind of the meaning that Book of John tried to put it there for us to understand. So, let's come back a little bit. A lot of people come and to welcome Jesus. And Jesus let them do it. But you know, they come with a different intention. But Jesus has let them know, how can I say to this big group of people that I know what you expect? You know, why those people crucified Jesus just a couple days later? Why? Because they had high hope upon Jesus. And Jesus didn't honor their request. Jesus didn't want to be their king to help them to fight with the Romans. So they have a high hope, become a disappointment, and they crucify Jesus. That's the reason we have to understand the people's intention when they come before God. So the Jesus answered to those big crowd of people by his own action. He didn't even say some word. He just do it by, let's continue to read in verse 14. Jesus found a young donkey and he sit on it, okay? And then and just ride that donkey into the city. And the author of this book, John, say, as it is written in the Old Testament, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. We had to go to the OT to get to know some of the nuance of this teaching, all right? Can we all turn to Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9? Okay, Old Testament. Let's see. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See your king come to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Wow, Jesus must know the Old Testament very well, right? See, Jesus is praying everything. He knows that one day he's going to come into the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to reveal to all his fellow Jews that I am the king. Finally, Jesus not go everywhere in secret. This time, he's going to go in public. He let everybody know he is from God and he is the king. And he also remember, in the book of Zechariah 9:9, they say, your king will come in sitting on a donkey. So Jesus prayed a couple of days ago, asked people to get a donkey and have it there ready for him to ride onto the city. Is that what's happening? No, of course not. God prepared everything. You know, just like all the prophecies on Jesus has to be fulfilled. Jesus on a mission to fulfill the will of God. And also, if you look at two books before that book of Zechariah, Zephaniah 3:15. Can you all turn to that 3:15 with me? Okay, he said, Lord has taken away your punishment. Am I reading right? Let's see. Oh, sorry, it says 3:16. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hand limbs. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will cry you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And then continue reading to verse 19. At that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lamb And gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. It's saying that this king in prophesies in the Old Testament is going to come, and he's going to come to do something, and that something is to save people from the oppressed, but not the oppression from the Roman. It's from our bondage, it's from set us free from the bondage of sin into the salvation. Okay, let's put this all together. I try to get the whole picture here. Crowd gathering to welcome Jesus into the city. They're holding a palm branch on their hands, and they are welcoming. They shout it out, Hosanna, King of Israel. They are thinking in their mind, I want to make this Jesus our king. So they're thinking king should be riding on a handsome horse, right? And a chariot, right? And then just like a king. That's the reason they have a palm to welcome him. This is a gesture to a king. Jesus intentionally wants to ride on a donkey, a colt. And the donkey simplifies, is a symbolic act of humility, right? I'm not here to fight. I'm here just to fulfill the OT prophecies. Yes, there is a king coming, but this king is not what you expect. This king is come to say all the people were scaling around on this universe. All the people are oppressed, not just you, Jewish people. It's everybody in this world who are oppressed, who are in the bondage of sin. This king will come to save you. So by the acting of sitting on a donkey, Jesus is bringing people back to these two Old Testament texts to let us understand, yes, I am the king. I have the kingship. But what kind of king I am is not what you expect. And what's the teaching coming out of all of this? See, if people with the wrong motivation, with wrong expectation, it doesn't take too much time. It doesn't have to take even one week. It just took them a couple days. They turn around and then crucify Jesus on the cross. So now you have to know, people who come to church, people who come to service, people who come to know God, has to come with the right motivation, has the right intention. And also for us, people who are already here worshiping, we welcome people into our midst. We welcome our new friend coming to worship together with us. We want to help them understand why I'm here. So why you are here? Let me ask you this question. Why are you here today? Why are you here? Because my parents drive me here. Oh, I come because I'm seeking a peace. I'm seeking friendships. Hey, this is a great social gathering. You have to be aware of what is the purpose of you coming here. Because if you come in a wrong purpose, wrong intention, you will be disappointed. And when you got disappointed, I hope you won't crucify our God like Jewish people did. But think of it. God will everybody to come seek for his help. People who lost the job, people who have trouble in marriage, people who can bring to before God with all of your different kind of needs. Jesus welcomes you to do that. But when he comes, you have to honor him as the king, as the law, the ruler of this world. And then you will get what God will give you. You know, we as a young Christians, and when we are here worshiping as a young group of Christians here, we are building up a culture here, you know what I mean? And then Of course, we are growing in size. You know, wonderful to see everybody here. We should see more people coming here, right? So you want to welcome, you want to be inclusive. You want to welcome everybody coming to this sanctuary with all their needs. But you know what? We have to be very careful. We're not going to say to other people, say, oh, you have to really know what kind of God our God is before you can be part of us. We don't say that. But we have to show them with our own testimony, with our example. When we come to this sanctuary, when we sit down, read the Bible, when we worship God, we are really honoring our God. We are really worshiping our God as our Lord. We don't get distracted away from other functions of this church or the church. Keep ourselves pure before our Lord. God is willing to help us. But we need to know Him. We have to set our relationship with Him right. So, see, when you invite your friend to come to our church, you are using your friendship, right? Okay? But that's not good enough. You know, it doesn't matter how a good friend you are, but am I going to change my faith just because this friendship? It's unlikely people would do that, okay? Sometimes even boyfriend and girlfriend, they fall in love. Even after they get married, they still are very stubborn in their own believing, right? I won't change my faith just because I got married with you. I'm telling you, change the faith itself, the conversion itself is, you cannot force it to happen. You know, so when we invite new people to come here, your friend to come, you don't want to just show them that, this is a nice place, okay, we have this program, we have this fun activity. You know, we want to attract people to come through many different outreach events, just like what Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he is a big event. The whole city, the whole nation was shaken. Wow! Everybody wanted to come see. But once everybody come, and Jesus turned around and showed them a humble person riding on a donkey. Set things right there. You know, so we want to do something. We want to be inclusive. We won't have other events to invite people to come to this church. But we have to make sure that we come here with the correct intention. Otherwise, it will create even more problems in the future. Okay, get back to the original point. Why are we celebrating Easter? Why Jesus came? Why Jesus has to die? Why Jesus has to be resurrected? Because our sins. Jesus died for us. We come to church. We come to service because we get to know ourselves. We need salvation. It's for our own sake. The reason we celebrate Easter, because we are enjoying the salvation that we have in Jesus, the new life that we have. Since we are so blessed to have this new life in Christ, how can we continue to live in a worldly life, pretending that, salvation is only Sunday's matter? Monday to Saturday, I live my own old way. And I come to church on Sunday. I will only, serve the Lord on Sunday. I only read the Bible on Sunday. Jesus died for us so that we have a new life. Are we living like a person that have a new life? Are we living like Lazarus? Think about Lazarus. Lazarus passed died, and then he was resurrected again, become alive. Then what he going to think of? He's going to think, wow, how am I going to do with the rest of my life right now? I lost it, but I gain it back now. So he's going to be very, very precious about all the day he's going to have in the future, right? Same thing. If we lost something and then we gain it back, well, we will be very careful not to lose it again, right? But are we doing it like this? See, actually, tell you the truth, I don't like those Easter egg hunting stuff. I really don't like it. I remember one time they hide an egg under the pew, you know, and I just accidentally stepped on it, and so messy, and then it's just like you sticking your stuck chewing gum on, you know, under the pew. Same thing like that. I don't like it. I want to keep it clean, you know, keep it neat. I don't want kids to pray and doing those egg hunting inside the church building. And we all know it's dangerous to do it outside, right? Well, I think Easter is the message on that cross. It's not on the message or other thing. And then, so it's a very, very serious moment that when we celebrate Easter, we need to think about ourselves. What kind of person we are? Do we need help? Do we need God? Is God dying for me or for others? Look at that book in Zephaniah. It says, I'm going to say all the... It's all about universal. Everybody. Everybody is oppressed. Everybody is in need of salvation, including you and me. And so when we come to celebrate Easter, we want every one of us to reflect on that. Are we really putting to death our own self and starting enjoying the new life that we have in Jesus? Or are we trying to do both, you know, just like those Jewish people? They are blessed to be a chosen people of God, but they still want to have a secular life. You cannot be a good Christian and also be a very successful in this secular world in an ungodly way. You had to pick and choose. Either you choose the world or you choose God. It's a matter like that. Otherwise, Jesus doesn't have to die for us. So it's a very, very, very serious message Jesus is sending to those people. Just like you want to come to this church and the people in this church turn you away. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. You come, you know, I raised Lazarus from the dead, and you all come want to see something happen next. And I tell you, there's no more next. I don't want to do anything for you. But I'm telling you, I'm going to die for you. That's the message that Jesus sent to those people that follow him. Crowd, sometimes they call it, can be very blind in sight. Are you following Jesus right now? What kind of follower are you? Do you know to the full extent the meaning of being a follower of Christ? Do you know why Jesus has to die on the cross? Think about it. Do you really understand why Jesus has to die on the cross? If you know it, you will know that's the utmost important thing. I care about Taiwan. I care about those Arlington mudslide victims. I care about a lot of things. But there's one single most important thing is the salvation. That's something that we need to make sure we have that first before we care other thing. You know, so every time, every Easter is a reminder that we need to come and reflect on that one more time, that Jesus didn't die for others. Jesus died for me personally. So now I can live in the blessed life today. Jesus paid the price. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of Christians here. I pray that you will continue to bless us, because this group of Christians, they love you. They love the people around them. They have a good testimony in their life. But I just pray that you not just let us enjoy whatever the breathing you have for us. You're going to give us a message. Just like you, by riding on donkey, you send out a message to the people around you that you're going to bring salvation to this world. I pray that wherever we are here as a group, that we can also send out a message, especially during this Easter celebration season, that you come to this world with a purpose, and that most important purpose is to save us from sins. I pray that we all, every one of us, will be reminded, and we will celebrate with the attitude of willing to be used by you to witness to our friends that I have been changed by my Lord, and I enjoy it right now. And I hope you can also have my God as your God. I pray that you put that image of a humble king sitting on a donkey into our hearts, and we will do likewise. And we will share that message of humility to the people around us. So we all come to celebrate Easter with the right purpose. We thank you for this group of young Christians. And I pray that you will give them that kind of burden to share gospel with those people that you bring before us. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.